Welcome to another audience interview brought to you by Stockyards Bank and Kentucky Tourism. I'm your host and publisher of Audience, Doug Driesback, and today we're excited to talk with Brett Shepard, who's been an anchor in the Louisville arts scene for many years and is currently serving as the interim president and CEO for Fund for the Arts. Brett has a passion for the arts community, is helping lead the search for the next president for the fund, as well as maintain all the important initiatives the fund is a part of, which is a lot of them. So we look forward to hearing more about those initiatives today, as well as to see how the search is going for the next president. So without further ado, Brett, welcome.
Doug, thank you so much for having me today.
Absolutely. I know your time is valuable and precious, so I know you got a busy schedule. Thank you for squeezing us in. So you've been involved in the arts community for quite a while. I think when you and I first met, you were with Kentucky Performing Arts, and it's been quite a journey for you. How did you kind of initially get involved with this industry or arts world, if you will, and come all the way to this point?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, as a proud lifelong Louisvillian, lived in Chicago very briefly, but I've always been here in the city. I've always felt that the arts have really been the true pulse of Louisville. When you look back, I was born in 1980, so kind of coming up, having those memorable experiences coming downtown. On field trips, to KPA or Actors Theater or some of our many amazing arts organizations. It's always been something that I've appreciated. And once I forged a career in nonprofit development, it was my goal, because the arts truly are my passion, to work for an arts nonprofit. So that opportunity definitely came to fruition when we first met, when I was at Kentucky Performing Arts, working in major giving, leading the fundraising campaign for Old Foresters Parish Town Hall. On the side, I also have a passion for indie rock and electronic music. So I've booked shows over the years at some of the fine venues in our town, Zanzibar, Headliners Music Hall, Brown Theater. So I live and breathe the arts. Obviously, the pandemic hit, and a lot of us working in the arts had to take a little time out. So when I came on board at Fund for the Arts in August of 2022, it was a true homecoming for me. And I've always appreciated the work that Fund for the Arts has done for the whole arts ecosystem. So this is really a dream job for me. And to be able to take on this interim president and CEO role, I am very grateful.
Fantastic. Sounds like they got the right guy for the job. So you mentioned you spent some time in Chicago with your career there. In your view, what kind of makes Louisville's art scene unique compared to other cities like Chicago? And how does the fund kind of support that distinctiveness between us?
Absolutely.
And some other places?
Well, you look at the makeup of our city, and we... kind of aside from the arts, you look at this rich tapestry of neighborhoods that comprises Louisville and all the diversity of cultures that we have in our city. I think the arts are kind of exemplify that. And when you look at Fund for the Arts and, the organizations that we support through our initiatives, probably the one that's most synonymous with Fund for the Arts over all these years, we call it the Sustaining Impact Grant. And these are general operating unrestricted grants that organizations apply for. We just distributed $2 million to 26 different arts organizations, large and small. And, the impetus for that is to infuse dollars into those organizations, for their general operations so they can focus on what they do best. That is connecting with the community, being in our schools, to help enhance education opportunities for our school kids, to inspire, right? To bring people together. We truly believe that the arts can be that that connector for our city. Look, like any major city, we're it's not an anomaly here in Louisville. We've got some challenges to address in our city, and we truly feel that the power of the arts, can work alongside, some of our other social service nonprofits, community leaders to move the needle and address those challenges head on.
So the recipients of these grants, they go through an application process. Is there, I guess for somebody listening today that might be a part of one of those groups that didn't know about it, what kind of process does it take to be able to be eligible for those grants?
Absolutely. All the information's on our website, fundforthearts.org, our community investment and support team. So we're a fundraising organization, but we're also a grant-making organization, obviously. And so our community investment and support team heads up that particular process, the SIG process, Sustaining Impact Grant. We have a wonderful grant review panel. The application process is, you know, like I said, detailed on the website and eligibility requirements, but it's just a great way for, I think, organizations to apply to kind of also do an assessment of where they are in various categories. And so that grant review panel convenes. We also have a couple of folks. I think it's important. Our investment team has added a couple of folks to that panel from other cities, right? So they're kind of looking in with different through a different lens from where they're located, and then based on the money that we have to raise that we have raised, we make those distributions. And like I said, we were delighted to be able to distribute $2 million.
That's amazing. This past year. That's amazing. So in addition to the arts in schools and those kind of, I guess, institutions, I also see that you guys are have an initiative for arts in the neighborhoods as well. Can yes. you tell us a little bit about that program?
Absolutely. It's the newest initiative at Fund for the Arts. This initiative came about during Andre Guess's tenure as president and CEO. One of the programs that we're really proud of in arts and neighborhoods is called the Community Event Mini Grant Program. And really the genesis of this program was in, you know, doing listening tours and connecting with artists, arts organizations across the whole community. A lot of folks said, is there an opportunity for me to apply for funding from Fund for the Arts, you know, to do something maybe in my most local neighborhood, something that's meaningful to my art form and the folks that we serve. And that's how the program started. This program affords organizations, individuals to apply for up to $5,000 to help put on a program that is art-centric, ideally, a program that fosters collaboration within neighborhoods, across neighborhoods. And these are events that, Doug, are free and open to anyone in the public to attend. We wanted to make sure that that these events are accessible. And what we've seen since the inception of the program, which I have to mention is powered by LG&E and KU. They are the generous title sponsor of this program. So we thank them so much for that. But we've seen I feel like collaborations that might not have transpired otherwise, organizations that have wanted to work together, individual artists. And like I said, it goes across every single neighborhood district that we have in Louisville, these events are happening. So we're really proud of the program and we're looking to grow the program as well.
So arts and institutions, schools and neighborhoods, kind of a lot of different directions there and so important in each one of them. But when you look at these and you go to a neighborhood event or you go to see the program at a school, what kind of measures the success of the initiatives beyond just like kind of a financial metric? When you go in there and you see something in action that wouldn't have happened without Fund for the Arts, kind of where's your meter on judging the success of a program?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, certainly we can look at, you know, attendance figures. A lot of times as we are able to implement, you know, a survey response, perhaps, clearly in the age that we're living, we strongly believe that, you know, the arts can have a tremendous impact in a lot of areas, but one is on, you know, mental health and well-being, right? And we see that in our neighborhoods, our community centers, our schools, just the impact that the arts has on your well-being. So that's something that is definitely a data point. That is definitely something that we have explored more. You know, truly believing in the impact of the arts. And we also see that, Doug, I have to mention, within arts and institutions, you know, we have the Sustaining Impact Grant program. We also have Cultural Pass. So Cultural Pass is a program that emanated from Metro government 12 years ago during the Fisher administration. And we are still partners with Metro government and our library system. to put on really something. It's unprecedented. There's not another program like this in our country, a program that affords kids up to the age of 21 and their parent or guardian to have free access to nearly 60 arts, culture, and nature organizations. And Fund for the Arts is the leader in raising the money for this program and facilitating the program. Our community investment team takes the lead in that. Like I said, Metro Government is a supporter as well, but we carry out that program. And one of the things that we're really proud of, last summer, we rolled out for the first time a Cultural Pass app, right? It was this incredible paper pass for the first 11 years. But to have that app at our disposal now, and we were able to develop that app through the generosity of the Humana Foundation, through a partnership with them. Our hope with the app and the continued growth of Cultural Pass, not only are we investing dollars in those organizations, we want to make people in the community more susceptible to the arts and culture that is around them. And this is just a wonderful opportunity, like for our young people to try new things, to try different art forms, to expose themselves to arts and culture. And then for those organizations in reciprocity to be able to, you know, connect in a deeper way, and hopefully through that, gain more donors and volunteers and attendees to their events. It's we see it as a win-win situation. So that's another thing I wanted to highlight as well.
Well, I've been on the app. It's fantastic. And to your point, to have a paper app for so long and now go into this kind of digital technology. And from what I understand, there is still a paper app for somebody that doesn't have the technology to have it, but it's,
That's right. That's right. And the good news is the app is easy to use. We want to make sure we have, accessibility for all. So,
well, speaking of the technology and kind of digital platforms, what kind of role do you think that technology and digital platforms have played, are playing, and will play in the future of arts? And the kind of engagement from individuals, organizations, and different things. Sometimes, you know, we see our kids' faces glued to these screens and doom scrolling forever. Does it limit their creativity or does it add to it? What's kind of your thought on that?
Wow, that's a great question. It's a loaded one. I've got a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old at home, and that's the great debate my wife and I have, you know. I mean, I think, you know, any sort of technology, I think, can always be a value add when used responsibly, right? And you know, I feel like people still, particularly when we look, I was actually asked this question on the Leadership Louisville panel recently, within the context of the role of AI. And the point I made is, you know, AI is never going to replace, you know, that the human interaction that you're going to have, or, you know, an artist, you know, creating something, you know, without that. It is, you know, something that makes our lives more convenient, more efficient. But at the end of the day, I think people really still crave that human interaction, that connection with others. And really, at the end of the day, you know, just the authenticity, right, of seeing something that was created without, without extra help, so to speak.
Well, fantastic. Well, kind of dovetailing a little bit off of that and the rewarding aspect of your job and the Fund for the Arts, and have there been any, what are some of the more rewarding aspects of your role so far, and kind of what kind of challenges have you encountered or overcome that you've been really proud of?
Absolutely. I think that the fact that, you know, here at Fund for the Arts, it's an amazing honor to be able to, you know, distribute funds across the entire community, and you know, make a difference in that way. I think, you know, some of the things that we're really proud of as a team is when, you know, a Fund for the Arts is able to, you know, obviously help advocate, convene, help foster new collaborations across the arts ecosystem. We see things powerful things, you know, every single day in our line of work when we go out, when we see what's happening in our schools through our arts and learning program. We have our 5x5 and TAG program. 5x5 focuses on elementary school students. TAG is middle school and high school students. And Doug, this program, you know, it's everything the funding that we raise for this program provides everything from, helping bring kids down or across the community to attend field trips. But I think more importantly, bringing artists to the schools, Louisville Ballet, Kentucky Shakespeare, so on and so forth. Our investment team works so hard, and we have this robust offering. We're kind of the conduit, the matchmaker at Fund for the Arts between what the need is with the core curriculum within the schools and what the arts can do, you know, to really bring learning alive. And I do have to mention one thing. We, and you all will see a lot from us on this, you know, we're trying to close the gap of the demand that is out there in the schools to have arts program, arts integration that, again, you know, uplifts and reinforces the core curriculum. We don't have the funds that we need right now to meet that annual demand. We are investing dollars not only in JCPS, but the surrounding counties here in Kentucky and our three most immediate counties over in southern Indiana. And this particular school year, we had nearly $400,000 in requests from all the different schools. We had about $184,000 to invest. Now, every school that applied got something, but we envision a world where we're able to fulfill every single request because we've seen that impact, because we've seen the impact in the schools on, basic things like a kid's confidence, their academic performance, their attendance, engagement in the arts. There's so much data out there, you know, really, really helps out as kids go through their school career. And hey, through some of those engagements, some of these kids are picking up an instrument or deciding to dance, or, you know, it's just, it opens up a whole new world of possibilities for our school children.
Absolutely. When you see results like that, I'm sure the pitch or ask for a donation the next year for a renewal gets a little easier when you can tell them those kind of things.
That's right. 100%. Yep.
So we mentioned earlier, being kind of the interim tag on your role as president and CEO, how's the search going for the next president, and how involved are you in that process?
Absolutely. So we have a transition committee that was established a few months ago, and it is comprised of Fund for the Arts board members, our current board chair, who's amazing, Scott Schaffelein, our previous board chair, Nicole Yates, equally amazing. So it is comprised of just fantastic folks on our board and from our community. So they are, seeing that process through, and, as announcements are ready to be made to the community, they will be the ones that will oversee that.
Fantastic. Well, you've got your hands full keeping all the balls in the air and trying not to drop anything. So
you're just, that's right.
Sounds like you're definitely busy every day. But overall, kind of in closing, what's a vision or a goal that you would kind of throw out there that you might have for Fund for the Arts that you'd like our readers to know about? Is there anything kind of the overarchy, whether it's funding all the programs or requests or just seeing a kid excel through one of your programs or whatever it might be?
No, those are great examples that you illuminate there, Doug. I mean, I would uplift our arts and learning program, the 5x5 and TAG program again. I think being able to close that gap, being able to fund all of those opportunities, because that's, you know, these are our school kids. Like I said, I'm a father of a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old, and I've seen what the arts have done in their lives personally. So to be able to close the gap on that, you know, for us at Fund for the Arts, you know, we believe in the sustainability of our arts sector, of our arts ecosystem. So, you know, continuing to work with our existing donors and the corporate community, the wonderful foundations that support us, the individuals to, you know, continue to develop and reignite even, you know, really the civic pride in supporting the arts here in Louisville. We are staunch believers of that. Like I said, the arts truly are the pulse of our city. It's just something that I feel like Louisville has always been able to hang its hat on, and we want to continue not only to sustain that, but to see that grow, and to have, you know, world-class art, you know, throughout our city is, it's a special thing.
Again, I can't thank you enough for your time today. In closing, is there anything that we didn't cover that you'd like to add for our readers to know about?
I don't think so. No, I appreciate it. Wonderful questions. As always, I enjoy catching up with you and having this conversation. So thank you.
Fantastic. And thank you. And thanks, everybody, for listening today to another audience interview brought to you by Stockyards Bank and Kentucky Tourism. For more information about Fund for the Arts, visit fundforthearts.org. And for more audience interviews and information about arts and entertainment in Louisville, visit audience502.com. Thanks again and have a great day.